In a few minutes, a financial innovation designed to help the world. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. As we've been hearing this morning, Canada has a new CEO, if you will. The Liberal Party there is won by a landslide, installing Justin Trudeau as the new Prime Minister. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has been looking into some of the cross-border money issues that the new Canadian government will have a hand in.
First, keep in mind, Canada is our biggest trading partner. We hear a lot less about it than Mexico, maybe, but it is really important. Justin Trudeau of the Liberals is going to try to stimulate the Canadian economy, get it back out of a mild recession. Canada suffered from the crash in global growth and oil and commodity prices. So that means higher taxes on the rich and lower taxes for the middle class and some stimulus spending. That could be good for U.S. exporters. After all, we supply a lot of goods and services to Canada. Trudeau's not on the record against the Trans-Pacific Partnership free trade deal. He said during the campaign he had to read the thing, and he's generally been pro-free trade. He's also been outspoken about climate change and cutting greenhouse gases. That could sit well with the Obama administration, which is balked at building the Keystone XL pipeline to take more oil from Western Canada.
Mitchell, thank you. United Airlines has appointed an interim chief with legal rather than managerial experience. The company's legal counsel, Bret Hart, is taking the helm as CEO Oscar Munoz recovers from a heart attack. People who hold stock in Humana and Aetna have now signed off on a $34 billion merger. This deal and the other one with Anthem and Cigna raise questions about competition. Now, at the same time, health insurance co-ops designed to compete against the major insurers are struggling to keep the lights on. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein reports.
Co-ops from Oregon to New York are closing as fast as flop houses in a gentrifying neighborhood. Harvard's Catherine Swart says too many of the 23 co-ops lack deep pockets to sustain multi-year losses and sophisticated software that makes enrolling consumers easy. But the third challenge may be the toughest problem to solve.
You can negotiate lower reimbursement rates if you are an insurance company with a large market share. If you are a small startup, you don't have that kind of market share clout.
Northwestern's Limor Daphne says co-op's failures prove something that many health observers have known for a long time. It's exceedingly difficult to break into this business.
If you would like a new insurer to succeed, we have to make more changes than what these co-ops represented.
Daphne admits that's easy to say, but much harder to pull off. She says theoretically, co-ops could stick if someone stepped up to absorb their losses as they launch, and that seems pretty unlikely. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
This fall, Rockefeller Foundation and a business incubator called Unis Social Business are testing a financial contraption designed to improve society. Investors who take a risk by lending to enterprises that are in turn trying to fix hunger, disease, access to housing, water, you name it. These investors get a bonus payment from a philanthropy if the business actually hits its goals. Judith Roden, president of the Rockefeller Foundation, came in to help us get a handle on what are called social success notes.
If it's a business that builds and sells solar mini grids focused on underserved communities in rural markets across India or Africa, and their predetermined social outcome is reaching 1,000 new rural households, the outcome payer, in this case a philanthropy, pays the investor an impact payment, a bonus.
These social success notes will favor the types of social enterprises that can have measurable outcomes in the medium term. I mean, there is good work being done where you can't measure the return quite so readily. You're not quite sure. Sometimes the improvements take a while to really gel. Is that something we need to think about?
The criticism or implied criticism of your question is one that is accurate for a social impact bond, because the social impact bond actually has a metric that creates a baseline against which to assess cost savings. But in the case of the social success note, depending on the requirements of the donor, the measurement of impact is more straightforward, such as the number of customers served rather than a reduction in recidivism rates, for example, which is a more typical SIB. So we think this is a much simpler and that the scope is actually much broader.
How do you think this fits in? The United Nations has these new development goals, a new round of them. They're thinking out to the year 2030 about trying to eradicate extreme poverty around the world. You see this as a component of that at some level?
There simply is not enough money to fund what the sustainable development goals will cost. And we see innovative finance as one mechanism, and we've launched a campaign called Zero Gap to use innovative finance as a way of closing the gap between the trillions that the SDGs will cost and the billions that currently feel available to fulfill those goals.
Judith Roden, president of the Rockefeller Foundation, thank you.
Thank you so much, David, for having me.
And before we go, the return of the fat finger. The latest amount, $6 billion, latest citing Deutsche Bank, where a trader's fat finger seems to have clumsily hit the wrong key, transferring the billions to a hedge fund. Deutsche Bank asked for and got the money back, but the fat finger is still out there. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Beatty Zhang. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.